But yes, so.
I like the topic of freedom.
Freedom. Yeah. I was listening to two interesting speakers in the craft today. One was this lovely English woman named Lisa Cairns. And she's fun. She just likes to... She does these YouTube, you know, kind of presentations with people that call in. So you don't see anyone. You just see her. But as people call in, she responds to them. And she's great. She's high as a kite.
Yeah. Totally.
She's just high as a kite. And if that's... If freedom is, you know, looks like or feels like high as a kite, then get whatever she's got. Lisa Cairns. And the other voice I was listening to as a kind of a fun juxtaposition to her was Carl Renz, who's a German fellow that is multilingual and actually has a lot of fun playing around with words and is somehow just really clever and naturally engaged, even using the English language, which is not his first language, and mixing up word forms, usually to the delight of everyone. He's very, he's like Ramana Maharshi with a bullet. Congenially, R-E-N-Z, yeah. Congenially irreverent and dismissive of all imagination arising presently. And so you have to be kind of like have your seatbelt on to tune in. Because no matter who's showing up to talk about enlightenment or freedom or depression, or it doesn't matter what anyone's bringing up, it's perfectly clear and, you know, exorcised by Carl that it's, you don't know what it is. You don't know what anything is. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And yet this is, right, doing what it's doing. So associations about memory, associations about freedom, about enlightenment, about yoga, about karma, about addiction, about recovery from addiction, about everything and anything that appears is, from his vantage point, just a launching pad for hilarity. Yeah. So some people love him because they just sit around and crack up because he just creates a ripple of nothing could possibly matter, just give it up. And yet that's not emphasized, right? And the people that do come to him to try to argue or create a, you know, a strategy of some kind, he just whoop, 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 whoop. I mean, he's like Mr. Clean, you know, and he's got an endless supply of ammonia and handy wipes, and everything just gets...
Must be the just topic gets for today, Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean. Gets just erased. And Lisa doesn't... She doesn't do that. Her emphasis is more on the present, miraculous, curious nature of feeling.
And you can feel like she's just spontaneously rolling with it, like with no... I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
You know, she really puts herself out there on that level.
She does, yeah. She's obviously demonstratively, in a sense, entranced.
Yeah.
And just speaks example from that. And you're like, wow.
Have you seen Benjamin Smite?
A little bit. Yeah, I'm aware of him. I saw it. Yeah, he can be very, very provocative too.
So she just rolls with feeling. So right now I'm feeling mediocre. Give an example, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not like sure how you're.
So this is so that's a great question because you know feeling associated with how you're feeling. On a even on a physical or a sentimental, emotional level, is not where she's coming from or not where she's going, right?
Yeah.
Her emphasis is, oh my God. With what though? Nothing.
My favorite thing was some guy was like, must have typed in like, you know, my mom just got hit by a truck or something. She's like, oh, my mom just got hit by a truck. Hang on, I have to pee. And you hear her peeing.
Yeah.
And coming back.
Yeah.
She's like, I feel better. Okay, my mom just got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
like just total like.
Yeah.
It's not like, and you can see it's not like she's being just, you know,
no.
not compassionate or anything.
No, it has nothing to. Yeah, it has nothing to do with right being compassionate or not yeah. compassionate. Right. This is the whole
she
emphasis.
Just had to be.
this emphasis, whether you look at Carl's kind of hilarious extremism. Or Lisa's, you know, clear, just call it immersion in, oh my goodness. All of these, you know, you're looking at very, call it contemporary but ancient teaching. It's contemporary because we're seeing faces of people in our, call it age group and younger, stumbling into a profound, right, resonance with something or nothing at all, expressing that resonance in contemporary language, not relying upon the yoga voice, the Hindu voice, the Buddhist voice, the Judeo-Christian, the Islamic, right? They're not relying on any voice at all, but a quality of, call it arousal or confidence in what's present and just being evoked from there. And that's what Peter does, you know, in terms of the yoga of radiant presence, is let's look at the nature of present experience secularly rather than adorned with spiritually or religiously, right? So by considering one's present experience secularly and sensitively, we can start to see how much of our present filtration of experience is abstract and imaginary. The degree to which our relationship with presence as ourselves suffers from arbitrary and imaginary filtrations of self. And so there's a...
You have no idea of this.
And so there's a frustration. There's an inauthenticity. There's something shy about our instinct, call it for deliverance, and the way that we're actually processing ourselves. We notice the gap, right? So suspicion, however it shows up, is I've noticed the gap between what? A deep instinct for something that's inexplicably profound that I cannot put my finger on, and the way that I'm processing, right, mentally, psychologically. I can feel I'm a fraud, right? Yeah, yeah.
If you're a fraud.
Hmm?
If you're a fraud.
Maybe, yeah.
Because the path might be up on levels.
Yes.
And so you're not going to have that sense, right? Because,
yes.
Because...
Well, let's take it to that, you know, next so-called level. Were there one? The recognition of this gap. We can refer to it as suspicion. Some kind of insufficiency. Maybe even a devotional longing. Right? However that shows up, it's indicative of a quality of recognition. Something's being recognized, something's being felt. And so attention can be therefore given to what we're referring to as the gap. However that gap shows up, and it can show up one day on Monday, another way on Tuesday, 15 different ways on Thursday, and perhaps repeat or never repeat. You can say that consciousness, were there one, is on the march once there's the recognition of the gap. Before the recognition, we habituate to this the best way we know how, right? We cope, function, manipulate, get what we think we need, right? Minimize, act out, act in, work with our therapist or our sponsor, and, right, we just get through the day. Once the gap has become conscious, it could be through just annoying, even pre-adolescent anxiety.
Yeah.
Right? It could start even earlier than that, in those semi-conscious years when our complete faith in the mystery of the universe started waning, and we started feeling really sorrowful about that. Maybe that's, what, 2.5? I don't know, 3? I mean, who knows? It's too weird, right? What do you call them? Serious events? Call them tragic or sudden events, right? Can also wake us up to this gap, right? When the continuity or the frame of reference of my right life is severely interrupted by death, by injury, by loss, by kidnapping, by a million things that primates do to each other here on, you know, the beautiful water planet, right? So once that gap becomes conscious, consciousness is on the march. Somehow you've committed yourself, or you've discovered that you're already committed to getting to the bottom of this.
Appear to me, hello, that the myriad of stories are irrelevant, yet can be facilitated to the march.
Absolutely, yeah.
The march doesn't matter which one you pick.
The march is all inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness on the march, as is everything, is always all inclusive. Absolutely, yeah.
That one person might, let's just say, have faith in the dogma.
Yes.
And another person might be open and actually pulling something valuable from the same.
Sure. Why not? Yeah, why not? I mean, here's the raw material, right? The Buddha wasn't any place but here. Ramakrishna wasn't any place but here. Peter Brown's not any place but here. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Neither are you. So then what's the...
I was just kind of having this thing while I was driving here, that I was thinking about that, like how this bizarre kind of subtle thing underlies that we think there's like somehow a soul in a body that's like a cage. And like when we die, it's released and then we know something.
Yeah.
So it's like we're waiting for... But that's total... Crap.
It's total crap.
It's like none of those are true.
Right.
And even if they were, nobody has any idea what happens, that you're going to know anything more than this.
No.
Yeah, but
and
it's
we're just kept on this, like...
When you can't picture or imagine getting it here at all, that actually is hopeful.
Yes, if the convenient or inconvenient hallucination of not going to happen in my lifetime... Then, if there's a heaven realm or a segue, then maybe I'll get it. Then, sure. That's just one of a million clever deferrals and stories told.
Yeah.
Well, all comfort in that case is kind of it's curiously imaginary, right? Strange but true.
Careful, this is serious.
Yeah, but if you really take seriously the dreaming, that like the metaphor of that, like, you know, when it's over, you might just wake up, like, in your room, or, you know, then that is actually waking up is available, which is death, which is whatever, in every instant.
Is there a difference between someone that you might admire, appreciate, respect, or even love as so-called awakened being, entertained by, you know, it doesn't matter what the relationship is, and yourself? Do you sense a difference? Right? I mean, Byron Katie is demonstrative, focused, on it, doesn't skip a beat, can salve or razor anything in sight with no thought. I mean, it's a provocative, right, skill. It's a force of nature. So is there something different about her than you? Something enviable about her that's missing where you sit?
You can't find anything that doesn't live here. Good or bad.
When you look at the thread of contemporary, let's call them Western teachers, that are for some strange reason espousing a more radiant Dzogchen Kashmiri Shaivism point of view, because those teachings have nothing to do with the Patanjali of the world, right? The purification rites, the morality rites, the physical culture, the commitment to contemplation, whether through the yogic or the Buddhist or the Vedic or the Taoist or the, right, shamanic realms. It's there's no emphasis there.
No emphasis on practice, is what you're saying?
No emphasis on there being any intermediary whatsoever between your present experience and Rigpa, recognition, gradient recognition. And all of these teachers, curiously, are all on board with this really kind of very, very simple, direct, deliberate, evocative, call it message. That's what you're seeing.
The teachers you mentioned earlier this evening.
Yes, and others. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you be willing to put on a list?
Sure.
I missed the list.
Why ask?
Or you just want to hang on to something? Dark hours.
I need a YouTube. Right, YouTube. It's when you're bored to tears and you're not finding anything that satisfies you on the internet.
There's a remarkably simple but potent, if not poignant, let's call it waveform, in what we refer to as consciousness. This has the miraculous capacity to particularize faster than you can say boo, at remarkably subtle levels of impulse, pre-verbal, pre-thought, I'll dare say, precognitive levels of impulse. So if this can particularize, which means to split apart, at precognitive levels of impulse, then everything that's appearing in your consciousness is an artifact of something that you haven't yet even seen, but you are the profound symptom of. As you experience the world, yourself in the world, or the world in you, there's a certain texture. There's a certainty of being. We don't want to give it too much word, because adorning it too much starts to distract you from, right, the directness of it. This quality of, call it aware, of being present, sentient, call it alive, is bliss by nature. But you could say, if there's a difference between a character that we admire enjoying the fruits of awake and myself, right? If there's a difference, one could say, well, they seem to be confidently, humorously, maybe all the time, we don't know because we don't sleep with them, right? In an evocative quality of spontaneous, call it transmission, evocation, right? Elastic response to what's appearing.
So they're not
recognizing a particularization, it just bounces off the brain?
Great question. Great. You are an empty primacy presently. And because this is so good at what it does, you can be a full to the brim and overflowing inventory of particularization, of the myth and mirage of particularization.
This is sounding like the
same.
It's a mountain, it's not a mountain, it's a mountain. Yeah.
Well, it's just, it's if someone is so-called accomplished in, you know, their yogic endeavor, right? Have they gotten something? Or have they left something behind?
But there's nothing to leave behind, so there's your answer.
But the discovery, yes, but the discovery of nothing to leave behind has to show up palpably in your experience. It can't just be a faith, an idea, a liturgy, right? A confidence.
You wouldn't leave your life behind if you thought it was something.
That's right.
Yeah. Sense.
Right. And so here this is, or we are, or more importantly, you are, or I am. and we can feel curiously, with no effort whatsoever, that you are unadorned. You are joyfully, blissfully, lovingly, strangely unknowing of anything, and completely unadorned. Right now. Then, or at, you could say, the same time, were there time, the potency, the poignancy of the myth of particularization, and then creating the illusion of your being of the nature of an inventory that's full and overflowing, is also right at your fingertips, right underneath the tip of your nose.
It seems like they're both good.
Yes. Yes. Now, for the typical suffering primate, the principal identity is with the content, with the inventory of self, and all of the superstitions that accompany that. I was born, and I'm on Earth. This is the Milky Way. I suffer, I'm at risk. I'm happy or unhappy with my appearance, good hair day, bad hair day, how much money I have or don't have, how well my love life's going, whether I'm with the right person that I felt I was committed to for the long haul. I mean, anything and everything arises within the peculiar nature of moment-to-moment experiencing. If we are enamored of this content and identify with this content as self, then samsara is your middle name. Constant companion.
If the reverberations of, you know, what comes at you is so quick and so intense, you think that makes it harder or less possible?
No. If awake is, as in...
Yeah, but what's... I
think
as good as awake if you can't enjoy it.
That was what I really enjoyed. And it seems just like
after.
That's pretty much the seeker's lament, isn't it? Well, what the hell good is it if I can't have my fair share?
This appearance, it becomes a gift. Regardless of what you're experiencing, it's a gift.
I've discovered the answer. Pepper chips.
Oh,
they're so hot.
Sweet.
It causes you so much pain, but then if you just let go, you get like numb. So
comfortably numb.
Thanks for sharing.
No, thank you.
The electric chips. I'm staying away from those.
If I can have some iced tea or something.
Yeah, well,
if you do,
you will need water.
I'm empty. I'll have to wait.
I'll have to wait.
You fill in the the blank.
I'm just going to do it without water. Because I'm going to be dumb.
Does anybody want something?
I do, but first I'm going to have a chip so I can torture myself.
Gold. Gold is love.
It's just pepper.
Let's see.
If you're living through it, whatever,
yes.
You would, or whomever would call it a good thing or a bad thing. But you're just looking at it and experiencing it, because I don't know what other word to use.
No one does.
It can be fulfilling, and you can be engaged in the mountain at the same time as you're sort of not.
Okay, so let's take something bold. Speak in present tense.
Oh, would you like me to?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, why? In other words, why pussyfoot around?
All right.
Right? I mean, why set your firsthand experience up as a hypothetical?
Okay.
Yeah.
You might be sorry.
Oh.
Okay, so there I was. We got him to court.
With the girlfriend? She was with you?
Mm.
Having her whenever
it is. Yeah, in about a half an hour she was able to get up. This is... Yeah.
What happened?
He asked me to use it to give a personal example of how you can move through shit. But anyway, so I took him to court. And he ran out at the fire escape. I mean, it's like a movie. Because they were coming to get him. Out the fire escape. Then they go to the Gap. They're shopping at the Gap. But anyway.
Make a movie out of him sometimes.
Oh, he's crazy. But, I nevertheless feel, even in the midst of this, and there was more, that he has the right to make these decisions. And I respect his right to shoot heroin.
What else are you going to do?
So isn't that what you're talking about?
I don't know. I don't. Maybe, but I don't think so.
Oh, that's how I took it, because, you know, I'm thinking, well,
so how does it, like, how does it, that's how it changes things, because this is what's occurring.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a human being.
Mm.
Okay? He knows that he is something other. And he knows it.
Yeah.
And he's looking for it. And he's finding it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't last long enough.
Right.
So that's what's going on.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's the same thing. So,
okay. Did they lock him up?
But I have to prepare myself for the... No, he got away. They couldn't catch him.
Oh, so he's just running.
They see him. There's two police coming. He gets away.
Yeah, they're not that smart.
But that wasn't really the point. The point is, this is what's appearing, and do I actually believe that he is not that human that I birthed? Do I actually believe it? So that's where the rubber meets the road, right?
Maybe.
So, I think.
Well.
You don't know what he is.
Right? But I understand that he's looking for the same thing as everybody else, which is that silence and comfort. That's what he's doing. Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad thing for him to get locked up.
That's a whole other story. That's just a...
I'm sure.
That's a story, yeah. There you go.
Time out.
One time when I did heroin,
the distance that you were talking about, it gets so excruciating. We're willing to go to all kinds of lengths to work with it.
And this is what he found.
There are ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your one's imperative to become free from particularization can show up as curious crises.
It shows up, it actually plays out in everybody, in all 7 billion.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
That's why we're so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
This is subtle. The moment we grab some crayons and draw 7 billion, what this is, what it isn't, you know, the challenge of dealing with the highly dramatic and maternally, right, intense experience. You see, so this is like Etch-a-Sketch. We're the ones doing the painting from moment to moment on an otherwise blank and, dare I say, happy or curious canvas. So all association, all sentimentality, all belief systems, all right and wrongs, all emphasis appearing in consciousness is profoundly arbitrary and simply being painted like a pollock right in your face. You are just splashing paint, let's say creatively, all over a blank canvas, and then you call that, this is what's happening to me in my life.
You say you are just splashing paint.
This is splashing paint. You're along for the ride. Yeah.
But there is some there is some sense at certain points that, whoa, I can splash it over there if I want to, there's it over here. And that's where the whole, I don't want to say creationist, what is it, like the secret and all that come into play.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there seems to be that we do have some control that's not the case.
Huh. Seems to be.
And it's very seductive to think, oh, if I just do this, I can get better control over it.
Well, here you are now where, let's call this, I don't know what to call it, let's call it actuality. Here. I don't know where here is, or that it's any better or worse than any place else that we are or are not, in our future, our past, our present, because I don't know where to draw any boundary around that this is occurring. Right? So the moment you bring up any kind of particularization, any boundary field, any emphasis that frames you, other people, what happened to you a moment before now, the way you felt about things, the way you'd like to feel about things in the future, maybe even the way you're apparently feeling about things now, you can see that it's just paint splashing. And the assignment or the confidence that's given to it as being true is also arbitrary. Spontaneously assigned. Effortlessly and spontaneously assigned. That's why our dear friend Carl, that just takes a handy wipe to everything, says, you gotta be kidding me. Someone says, you know, I want to be enlightened. Forget about it. There's no such thing as enlightenment or anyone that was ever not enlightened that could possibly be enlightened and no place in between. I mean, this is, whatever it is, however it's appearing right now, sovereign. Completely sovereign. It's not dependent on anything. It's not the consequence of anything felt, believed, practiced, suffered, enjoyed. It's not.
One of the first arguments that comes up in my mind when that starts to really sink in is, then I'm not safe on the way home because I'm not able to really get myself there. Like, there's a sense of, like, safety.
You've never been safe, but you've never been unsafe.
You're going to die. Can anybody ever tell you? You're not safe. So give it up.
But you see, even the notion of valuing safe,
yeah.
Right? Once you value safe, in Carl likes to say in his lovely accent, you're too late. You see?
The imaginary line across the Etch-a-Sketch.
Yes, you've already splatted an otherwise liberated plenum with an idea.
It's astonishing that all those lines came together enough for all. That's pretty amazing.
Yes.
There's walls here, there's heat, there's food in our bodies.
It's very curious what has occurred within the thin atmospheric veneer of Earth amongst we bacteria.
But when you consider the infinitude that you're dealing with, it's bound to happen.
It's just another day in the Bowery.
You know? How can it not happen.
It's too strange. We don't assign deliberate choice-making sentience to everything, every celestial body in the universe, right? Everything other than humans, or maybe our dog, the dogs that we love. Everyone else, everyone and everything else is insentient and on autopilot.
Dogs are not sentient.
But no, somehow we have free will and choice and discernment, and we can exercise what it is that we want to do. We have control over how we feel, what our identity is, how we respond to a situation. I mean, the reason you go to Scientology is to be the smartest, most deliberate, evocative presence in the room. Tom Cruise will tell you that for free, if you could find him. But what this really is, what you really are, the consciousness that you imagine you possess, is merely the metabolic waste of a bacterial shit farm.
And
electrostatically
the same thing again,
running through synaptic fatty tissue, creating grandiose imagination, three-dimensional imagination. And the hallucinations of space-time, and or your place in space-time, as a discrete, deliberate, corporeal creature on a trajectory called my life. This is insane.
That's why it can be, I'm going to say, enjoyed.
Let's hope so. That was the takeaway, right? What good is it if I can't enjoy it?
It's just... and you're there.
Here it is. Your call. It's your dime. You made the call.
And it certainly is creative.
I seem to get less caught up in dramas of my own mind and other people's traumas inflicted on me than I used to.
Good, I guess.
Since I've been doing this kind of thing, but so there seems, I know there's no takeaway. I know.
Go ahead.
There's no takeaway, right?
No, there is. There's as much as you want.
The takeaway is to drop it. Don't take anything away. Take nothing away. Nothing. Then you're in good shape.
The assignments that you place on your life, the relationships, the commitments, the employment commitments, the whatever commitments, all of the assignments that construct for you, right, call of it the priority shield of what you call your life, your dignity, your selfhood.
Responsibility.
It's all myth. It's just all arbitrary myth.
You could assign nothing and still just watch yourself walking into the building at work or showing up here. Without the assignments, I have a feeling it would just still...
Give it a whirl. Feel yourself, which is what this call it yoga is about. Even traditional yogas are not ultimately about purification. They're all sensitivity training. If you look at all the tools, regardless of the culture, right, that they're coming from, all the tools are about sensitivity training. So maybe moral culture, physical culture, contemplative culture, cleanliness culture, all contribute to the capacity of, we could say, a biologic, vibrant biologic organism, subtle plenum of feeling, to relax, 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 relax again, and therefore become conscious of the subtlety of the texture of present experience. Unadorned, unencumbered by assignments, by processing anything, by pursuit. Here it is. And as we walk into it, speak around it or through it, the feeling makes itself known. The feeling of you enjoying or just relaxing into yourself makes itself known. You become fond of that signature. And since you're not an idiot, you return. Yeah, you return to that signature. And you might discover that the amount of steering that you were doing just out of habit is not necessary.
That's the unadorned. Conscious of the unadorned.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's, for me, that's... It's not the way that... I'm just going to say, like, I used to think. Because you think of things and places and times and events, but you want to be unadorned. So you need to drop all that stuff.
Yes.
And so it doesn't come naturally. That's where you have to, like, really...
Well, if you look back to the extent that you can look back over your imaginary life, you could see that everything appeared naturally. Even the suffering, even the rejection, even the resistance, even the cutting. It all appears naturally. Everything does. You're running out of the courthouse and going shopping at the Gap.
I agree. But you should have seen. It would have been a comedy. Trust me.
They're like, we need to have a
But I don't know if I made my point or if I'm off somewhere. So there's a way to know that what is appearing appears spontaneously, but it seems to require that you first drop the adornment.
No.
So
I hear you.
The holding on.
Right. You can't drop anything. There's really nothing that you presently possess that you can drop.
Right. You actually can't miss.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So then how do we experience, using that word, experience, a difference? Then you have to go back to the past and pretend that you, at one time, it was different, so...
No.
You know?
No, you just notice what this is now. Because that's all we can do. We can't do anything about the past. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything with or about the future. The only thing I can ever do is notice... what this is now.
But noticing what this is now may reveal something different to you than what you thought it was. So, or I don't know.
In the past.
You can.
What you think it is in the moment.
You can articulate the strange mystery of discovery through apparent comparison. You can. You can make it look like I used to feel a certain way, used to think a certain way, used to suffer a certain way, used to get involved, engaged in a certain way, and now I notice that I'm not as unruly in my own consciousness as I was a minute ago. So you can make it appear as if you're capable of comparing something, coming up with an astute observation about it, taking it home, or sharing it with a friend. You can. It looks that way. But that's not what's happening. Because, oh, here's this now. Where'd this come from? And there really is no continuity, which is joyfully observed, between your present experience and anything that happened a moment before now. There is no continuity between your present experience and anything that happened a moment before now. That's how really, free you are.
That's really sticky. It's like funny. Like how many times have I heard that? I still like just have this subtle underlying thing that just wants to say something about something. It's like I don't know how else to speak. I don't really, even if I'm not feeling that way, it'll come out of my mouth, and I'm like, well, I don't even know how else to articulate anything.
No. No, you can't. No one can articulate it. If we speak, we're just kicking around, you know, let's just call it a wave of free association.
Waiting to see if someone gets pissed off.
Well, that's not difficult. Amidst a feeling tone. Your primary experience is your feeling tone. That's the primacy. You are the nature of an unadorned primacy appearing in your experience as feeling tone.
That's so true.
Oh. You don't need to be any more confident about it than anybody else. Oh my goodness. It's already so. Now, we can see the urgency, the habit, the familiarity of particularization showing up as a story told, as a reference point, as a comparison, as measure, as a thing to do or not to do.
We're in agony over it. I mean, we wanted to stop so bad, and it's like, why can't I?
Yeah, yeah.
I know you all feel that way.
Well, even if I'm like blissed out, I don't know how to communicate it, so it seems to come out.
Yeah, that's right. Neither does Lisa Cairns, but she records it all. She doesn't know what she's doing. You know. She's just, you could say, hanging out in like and then she just starts saying shit. But we're all doing that too. Even if you swear, oh, I'm not enlightened, sounds like a good idea, I hope it happens maybe someday, that's nonsense. It's really not true. Whatever is appearing in your consciousness, in your experience, or that becomes evocative enough to, let's say something about, is also totally unadorned, right? Call it spirit or soul, spewing some barking noises. You may associate I, me, my, chose, felt, thought, did, said, withheld, shared, was intimate, was evasive. But that's all nonsense. That's just arbitrary self-reflection.
It's like back to the mountain. It's a mountain, it's not a mountain, it's a mountain. It seems perfectly legitimate to me.
Yes.
Whatever that is. To just go get whatever it is. Why not?
What choice do you have? When have you not done that? You've always gone exactly along with whatever was showing up as it was showing up. Did anyone do anything different?
If you start at the place where you believe what appears and you believe it is those tags, those names.
Yeah.
You know, it's a boy, it's a girl, it's a plate, it's a fish.
It's my son.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can go back to that and yet have the distance. Right, that space in between, you can be here and not be here.
Jesus said something about that.
You can be.
Trust him.
So you can enjoy the ride, is what I'm trying to say. There's no reason not to fully engaged with whatever it
is. Yeah, but you're anthropomorphizing again.
Well, maybe.
Right?
I don't know.
I mean, you're speaking as if you're offering
past
meaningful and helpful advice to a person to enjoy the ride. But there's no person here.
Well,
so where's the advice? Who could benefit from the advice? There's no people here.
You never off the ride.
I guess
there's
what
no
I'm
place to be on or off.
Pretend it's real, but then there's nobody to pretend it's real.
Okay.
Is that what you're getting at?
Well, there's no point in anthropomorphizing this and then suggesting it as either advice that you should follow or that might be of benefit to somebody else.
Well, I'm trying to understand.
You know what I mean? There's no there's nothing but ride here.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is.
What I think I'm trying to say is to say that what appears is not what it appears to be is not any better than enjoying the ride.
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the paradoxes get very strange, you see. You start barreling down into, let's just call it the Gordian's knot of any kind of, you know, paradox. It's like, where do you place your loyalty? Over here? Over here? And then you switch again. They're like, well, no, over here, but then over here. You see, once you start barreling into a paradox, which occurs through representation, right? Psychological or verbal or any kind of discerned, right, representation, you're screwed. Because this is just as it is.
It is what it appears to be.
And it both is what it appears to be and not what it appears to be. And appears isn't even true.
And appears to
be. We use appears kind of conveniently and inconveniently. Right?
Yeah, like I see it, now I don't.
Well, there's the irrefutability. That's the unadorned, right, primacy. Your unadorned primacy, that's irrefutable. Oh. Now you tell me, is it appearing? I don't know what to say. Is it actual? Is it real? Is it unreal? Is it paradoxical or not paradoxical? You can't assign anything to it, presuming that the opposite's not true.
I was reading, picked up one of my books, cleaning out my things, and it was Carlos Castaneda book, right? And it was a separate reality. And it wasn't so much something I read as the picture on the slide showed one of the characters, whether it was Carlos or one of the guys or something, but his whole face is nothing but like a light, like his head is light. And
like that guy in the vampire movie.
Well, rather than him being one of those really hot looking guys in those vampire movies. So I tend to attract.
By me. I hear.
It was just his head wasn't there. It was just like this ball of light.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, then they go into all those weird Carlos Castaneda things, but.
In shamanic culture, no matter where you look, in shamanic culture, you're going to see references over and over and over and again of the luminous egg or the rainbow body. If you feel like, how about right now, your unadorned primacy, you just chill with it. It's like, all right, yeah. What you'll notice is it starts to effervesce. And it effervesces as, feels as light. This effervesces as radiance, as light. Not necessarily visible light or infrared or ultraviolet or anything even having anything to do with the electromagnetic spectrum. Your present, unadorned primacy effervesces and it feels like radiant light. So all of these shamanic cultures, when they illustrate the revelation of the rainbow body or the luminous egg, these imagery is all very, very similar. I mean, look at the images of the Buddha, right? I mean, that's like sublime. Or Jesus' halo. All of these, call it transmutations of our ordinary and clearly non-deserving consciousness is of the nature of an unadorned, radiant primacy, which is does not obey the laws of relativity, is not the consequence or offspring of time-space or the Big Bang. You're not the offspring of the Big Bang. That's a shock.
We're not even the offspring of our parents.
No. No.
Closer to home. I know it's no longer that
story. I know, that would have been such good news. 50 years ago.
I'm out of here. So this is it's a shocking shift in, call it, loyalty. On the samsaric side of the fence, the loyalty, which is mostly unconscious, is I'm the consequence of my parents, who are the consequence of perhaps a long chain of Homo sapiens, maybe not in all of our cases. Some of us might be more Neanderthal. Sorry. I wasn't accusing anyone in particular. It's just, you know, if you follow the bloodline, you don't know what you'll find. Yeah. But you see, the whole frame of reference, which is how we relate to this presence, is superstitiously and unconsciously as the consequence of birth, as the consequence of the biology, as a consequence of life on Earth having been begotten from the Big Bang. You see. So you think that your present primacy as unadorned, radiant consciousness is consequential, that you're the offspring of something. You don't see yourself as source. You don't see yourself as radiantly creative source. You think that you're the consequence of something.
Paul Hederman talks about, there's a lion that grew up on the sheep.
Yes, the old lion and the sheep.
Old lion, and it's like the message constantly coming at this lion is you're a lion, you're a lion, you're a lion. And somewhere in between it gets to him is like, I can become a sheep. Versus, that's kind of
right. The metaphor is obviously to startle us out of complacency. Are many. We're looking at the simplest kernel or root of misunderstanding. Not a million misunderstandings. One. Just one fucking misunderstanding. Not a million. No inventory. Just one. That makes it much easier than taking on the Pali Canon and trying to find your way home. Because that's just way too much.
What's the one misunderstanding?
That's the question. What is it?
That we're the source, not the consequences. I am a sheep slime.
You.
She lion.
You're worse than that. You're a sheep eating lion.
I used to be a vegetarian. But
first, she creates all the sheep, and then she eats them. That's what she does.
As consequence, restlessness and insecurity follows you 24/7.
Yep.
So it's only one mistake. And it's not really even a mistake, since it's just kind of a will-o'-the-wisp anyway. You're not really committed to being ignorant, are you? No one's really committed to being ignorant. It's kind of just like a... It's just kind of a... Yeah, right. It depends on the time of day. Sometimes ignorance is really where I need to live. Yeah. It's more of a just curiously, strangely impersonal, right, expression where this, whatever it is or isn't, has mistaken itself as the consequence of something, meaning sheep. It somehow forgot that it's a lion, meaning that it is sovereign, primary, uncaused, and unadorned. So make that one little mistake, not that you make it or don't make it, or that you can even avoid it or not avoid it. None of that's really even important. If this identifies with this radiant presence as the being the consequence of your sheep. That's all everything is about. I mean, I know it's bold and silly, but everything is about one little observation. You are either unadorned, radiant primacy, completely transcendent of time, space, and relativity, uncaused, or you're the consequence of something other than yourself. Once you're the consequence of something other than yourself, you're fucked. Okay. No biggie. If I manage to bail out of the courthouse before they grab me, I'm going to go shopping.
She needs something good to wear in case she ODs and they got to car her to the hospital.
Yeah, what the hell?
People forget at the wake.
Now, why do a bunch of, you know, unworthy and slovenly primates show up at a table like this to have this conversation?
Good question.
Fuck if I know. I fucking know.
So, I'm going to try to put a question out there. You know, I'll fuck it up. That's okay.
So will we.
So, we are the unadorned primacy.
Okay. Told.
Now, we can't.
To the lady.
We cannot not be. So, whatever is saying to, in my mind.
Yeah.
That this appearance is for, like, fun. It's just.
It thinks so.
Okay. Good. I don't have to go any further then.
What would be so difficult were realization, if it were something, to simply be the acknowledgement that, oh, this is the most fun I could ever have.
How's Jen? I mean, you'd be there.
How's Jen?
Who? Jinju.
Okay. It's fun to be imaginarily miserable and committed to seeking, with or without finding. It's fun.
It's fun to be hungry, and it's fun to eat. To ask questions of him slowly and painfully.
No, I want to be done now. I want the radiant present.
Yeah, no, it's yeah, of course.
Adulterated.
Yeah.
In the meantime, crumbs of sugar off the plate.
Okay? Yeah, they'll do. So what it is that you want is what you already are. What luck? You're in luck.
Uh-huh. I don't ask for much.
That's right. I'm only asking for one small thing. Right? Self-recognition as the unencumbered divine.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I know. We're really just asking to be here.
Yeah, that's right.
You want the only thing that you can have. Bam.
Bam.
Yeah. Right there.
I know. I was
do it.
I was trying to stay still so I didn't get
hit. Do it.
People are going to get punched at her meetings. I'm telling you.
That's true. I do that a lot of times. Really?
You want to see what it feels like? Boom!
Let me show you some radiance.
This is all, this, whatever it is or isn't, is already the case. Whatever this is or isn't, is already the case. So now, if you're going to do some drilling, right? Right where you are, just as you are, feel it. That's it. If attention is hijacked by story, by symptom, by lack, then that, you could say, distracts you from your otherwise unencumbered radiant nature, because this has become interested in a diversion, an RPG. Merit you can apply is what has occurred in your experience. That, because whatever has happened to anybody else is A, not your experience, and you don't give a shit about them anyway.
Well, I do, because I want to know what they're dealing with, if it's similar or not.
Why? I'm not saying I misunderstand the impulse.
Yes.
I feel the impulse. Right. Why corroborate with another victim of the desert, whether there's a mirage or not? You're both sipping sand. So,
and then
I mean,
validating it, using the other person to validate your mirage.
Yeah. It's just a slippery slope to go in search of, right, validation or curiosity or self-referencing through the so-called experiences of others, because they don't know what's happening either.
I don't think they know something I don't.
Who? Who could possibly?
Based on words coming out of people's mouths.
It's the...
No, base it on what they present. Their attitude.
This is,
if they know something, then they're wrong. Okay? So don't worry about it.
It could be a very lovely place to hang out and smirk to your heart's delight that everyone else is lying.
Yeah, of course they are.
That's right. Yeah. Now there's no, you could say, comparison or a feeling of, you know, insufficiency in contrast or comparison with anybody else or what they may be trumpeting. Because you're like, I'm just surrounded by idiots. It's quite clear.
I'm an idiot surrounded by idiots.
An idiot surrounded by idiots can, like, oh, I can start to relax.
Well, we're all idiot savants.
And
that makes it a little,
savants
a little
as well.
Positive, a little bit more positive.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade from asshole, anyway.
Don't go in search of experience.
We're all idiot geniuses.
I know how your mind works. Right? Peculiarly like yours does, and similarly to everyone else's weird way of processing this. Right? So let's say there's a habit to go in search of a corroborating experience. Right? If you follow the impulse or the habit to go in search of a corroborating experience, what are you doing? You're anthropomorphizing self And then you're on a trajectory. You see? Once you anthropomorphize self and go on a scanning trajectory, you're dreaming.
Well, you can go do it, but you'll fast find out it doesn't help it. When you're doing it, it's like, oh, it's kind of hollow. There's lots of avenues that I could go from here to blah, and it doesn't do shit.
Becoming unadorned.
To drop the impulse, the rather profound and sneaky impulse of corroborating this through experience, through knowledge, through satisfaction, through any means whatsoever. I mean, can you play with, even just play with, dropping any interest that this is about anything?
I want to.
You...
I do.
You want it to be about something, or you want it to
be? I don't want it to be about anything.
Because I actually find it fun to engage in it and pretend. Like, I like to
rock and roll.
Sometimes it's fun.
Why not?
You know?
Why not?
Okay. Thank you.
But you see, in order to be interested in corroborating experience, which gives you the confidence that you feel you deserve, in order to say, "Oh yeah, I get it now," this has to be about something. The moment you make this about something and then go down the path of corroborating experience, all you're doing is dragging the imagination of yourself along. You haven't really put anything down.
Making it about something is always about something.
Well,
I'll feel better. This is about,
yes, but it also bubbles up in the present. Because memories of things that occurred prior to now bubble up in the present, right? Anticipations of the future bubble up in the present. Even feeling like you can understand what's happening right now bubbles up in the present. So in either direction, if we're talking temporally, there's pursuit. There's corroboration. There's making this about something having durable or meaningful value to you. That's how subtle this is at creating a sense of self to whom this is about something, and ideally satisfactory to moi. Then you're too late. You've already taken up residence as hallucination. This is only about one thing. Just this very incredible, curious, call it a mechanism, or dreamscape, where this associates with itself in a particular manner and makes it about something. It's all we're investigating. One small peg, which happens to be infinite in terms of its colorful expression. That's why we have the same conversation over again, but you could say, thankfully, new material appears to show up. It's still about the same thing. It's always about the same thing. But whatever that one thing is, which makes it appear to you that you're something other than what this is infinite, the way that it sneaks up on you. How time, space, and self come out of nowhere, come out of left field, and all you have a mortgage. Yeah. When did I buy that house? Here's the papers. I must have signed the mortgage. It's so fast. It's so fast. It's so skillful. It's so crazily delicious how it sneaks up on itself that you don't even remember signing the deed. That's how profound this one thing is in, you could say, participating or contributing to the myth of primate suffering. I wonder.
It's called home moaner.
Mm-hmm. but you possess the curious skill, call it that, to see right through the one thing that happily seduces you into imagining that this is about something. You do. You possess the intelligence and the skill and the humor, perhaps most important of all, to see through this myth-making machine.
Possess is a confusing word, I think.
What's a confusing word?
Possess.
Yeah.
Because it's not... You don't possess... I mean, it's
diddly-do.
Semantics. It's semantics, but... Because if you want to possess it, you're fucked. You can't.
Yeah, any metaphor that may show up can 1 minute be evocative, 1 minute not hit the mark, 1 minute be stupid, 1 minute sound brilliant. But who cares? Because it's disappearing, right? It's all misting away. I mean, I don't, you know, you record this stupid thing so someone can listen to it and go, what the what? What the fuck are those guys talking about?
After the fact, it's sort of like, oh.
Oh, God, I'm never going to listen.
It's either like, oh, that didn't sound quite as bad as my father said.
Yeah. How you respond to this, call it live, is pure serendipity. If you listen to the recording of this, that's a whole new geometry.
Every single second is like, it's funny. Like, I'm at the Peter Brown retreat. I don't remember laughing in his intro at all. I have no idea what he was even talking about. I was like, it's space. There's so many people. It was overwhelming. And then Jamie puts this little clip up, and all he does is say, anything you think is wrong. And I'm like, ah! I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, really.
And how many times have I heard him say that? Other times I'm like, oh, God, it's again.
Really,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. You know?
Really.
No idea.
I have to put a pen in my neck.
Yeah, I know. I almost stabbed myself, but then he made a comeback, and it was like, all right, I'll.
What you're seeing through all of this kind of lovely, generous battery of teaching and teachers is humorous refusal that anything could possibly be true. That's it.
And dropping all possibilities is the freedom. Sorry.
Well, yeah, and there's no dropping.
Because well, there's goes no, because the, yeah,
there's
that
no,
goes back to the,
well, there's no steps.
Same.
Yeah. The myth and the mist that suggests that you're the consequence of something other. You don't really possess it. Nor do you even believe in it. So it's not really possible or even worth trying to drop it. If you penetrate a myth, it's not like you could actually drop anything. You just, oh. Simply you wake up, that's why that phrase is used, to the myth, to the genesis of the myth. You haven't dropped anything. You just see right through all of the clever, curious, and marvelous ways that this convinces itself that it's other than itself. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, it's just this. Right. It's a very simple confidence. You don't need a pickup truck full. A thimble is good. Less than. It's homeopathic.
It's very potent. That's like an interesting, just seeing that potency, like the sheer, like... You never had a chance, never will, and like the thought system afterwards is like blah blah. But if you see the potency of like the actual occurrence, it's like, dude, no, this is like done deal. signed, sealed, delivered.
The myth of disparate separation melts into perfect identity, which is the collapse of the imagination of the dual, that this could possibly be other than itself. So your awareness, your sensitivity, all that's appearing in the plenum of your experience, just as it is, including moods and emotions and to-do lists and things done and not done, really the entirety of it all. You're absolutely disinterested.
It does sound kind of weird, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And all you need is a thimbleful or even less of the presence of being completely disinterested in everything that's arising. You're not in search of corroborative experience.
I'm always disinterested, but then I thought I had to be. It's a rule.
Yeah,
but see,
disinterest is not an accoutrement of self. Self is included in that which is no longer interesting.
Yeah, I mean, because you can have profound interest in the texture and color and flavor of these chips or whatever. So the way you're using the word disinterest is in relation to...
It's a harmonic. There can be profound interest. Even dramatic interlude. Right alongside absolute disinterest.
Well, like, not opinionated sense. You don't have a dog in the fight about...
It's transcendent of self. Disinterest is not an accoutrement of self. It's transcendent of self. So it's, let's say it's behind. It's weird.
Yeah, I guess that's what I meant by dog in the fight, but I could see how you... It's not like a person without a dog in the fight. It's
right.
It's just a, like...
Right. Right. Yeah. You see, even
well,
to emphasize,
it sounds ridiculous,
it's too strange. It's because it's not corporeal.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're like even further removed.
Your nature is not corporeal. So, if I use the word disinterest, we're not referring to an accoutrement of self, or body or mind. It's.
Involved in any of that, in some sense, like you're there, you know. What's just doing itself? So, what are you gonna, you know, why you're?
You have to.
It seems like your interest only lies in it so much if you think you have a dog, and like you have some kind of.
It's not renderable because disinterest is, let's call it for fun, non-dual. It's not. It is not of this plane. Disinterest is not of this plane.
Would you say, but it can observe this plane?
That's what it is. Disinterest and, you could say, pristine sensitivity, pristine awareness. Is this? All permutation and characterization and particularization and what occurs in the corporeal realm is appearing at the pleasure of divine disinterest. So that's yours. Divine disinterest is yours already. No earning this. Already the case. So then the playful experimentation is to feel what it feels like when interest is present as self. As body-mind, as circumstance and event, which is that one thing that creates the myth that something's actually happening here that matters. Whereas disinterest, not of this world, is also your prescient and present nature, which is not seduced by the presumption that this is about anything. It knows quite clearly that it's not.
Feels like taking a load off. Big one.
And it's a strange relationship, or it's always curious to speak about it, because this disinterest is really not of this world, and so it's not a consequence of self or mind or thought or sentiment.
Right.
or feeling or corporeal identity.
That's really hard to talk about and be clear about. Because, yeah, well, because so many things, right? Our language is so, the way that you're interpreting what I'm saying, right? I might use the word I, like,
yeah.
Not as a person, but as whatever, you know, and you're like,
right.
And then you can get it so hung up on these words.
Your present experience is transcendent, transrational, not the consequence of anything. It's not about anything. It's completely unadorned. It's flexible and elastic beyond imagination, and you don't need to do anything about it. That's just a minuscule failed attempt at referring to divine disinterest.
But I still experience the appearance as like a gift. So then I have an interest.
Okay. Sweet. Everything appears in disinterest, including experiencing this as a gift and being engaged in it. Okay.
There could possibly be the danger of forgetting the disinterest by becoming so...
There's no danger.
Well, the ability to lose the other perspective.
There's not a perspective. Divine disinterest is not a perspective, because that makes it about self.
Well, then that's why it can become an issue if you forget become the self.
That's why they call it samsara. Samsara is simply put forgetfulness.
Okay. So
just forgetfulness.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Because you can engage in the same thing and forget and be the self, or whatever that means.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yes. So. It's all good.
I am. And that's good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
I hate to use you as an example of this, but... Breakfast, I guess, was last week, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, gee, I know her. I know she's come to these meetings before, but I had no associate. I couldn't remember what the association was. And then you were in the
Bacha. Oh, the Bacha.
And I'm like I knew yeah, you, yeah. But I had no associate. Mm-hmm. I forgot lost the association, mm-hmm. Whatever. And now I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you work with one of my oldest friends, right? And so... because you were wearing, like, the pot shop thing, right? So I guess why I'm saying that is because I thought it was my short-term memory loss, and I'm hoping it's some consequence of this. Either that or, you know, something from whatever drugs were pumped into my system. Like, losing associations. Find out as a consequence or anything of this. Just like all of a sudden, you know.
All of a sudden you forget where you are.
Pull back? Yes, actually. Like, okay, yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah, really. Does that happen to you too? Or am I like dissociating?
Well, you're never actually in the same place, so it's not like.
Okay, what was I doing?
It's not like you're actually forgetting anything. You're just realizing that you're never actually in the same place. Well, it's never actually the same.
It's like I don't find myself getting caught up in dramas as long and fast as I used to.
When you're nourished by the wonder of yourself, everyone can just fuck off.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God.
And that's not a, like, you know, like a I'm angry at you, you can fuck off. That's like a seriously, like, this is so fucking great that I, if you're not coming along.
Yeah, you can so fuck off.
Goodbye.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, you can be there, you cannot be there, like, that kind of feeling.
As you become, as you discover how unspeakably nourished you already are, as the fact of being, everyone can just fuck off. You're no longer imaginarily dependent on how people think, feel, treat you, trust, mistrust, call, don't call. You're completely relieved from, you could say, the pangs of primate codependency. Which you could say the entire culture suffers from.
Which seems to stem from the myth of agency.
Absolutely. It is the natural consequence of the myth of agency.
If nobody had any, you know, free will or whatever, none of that would even come into play. Wouldn't even exist. Wouldn't be possible. Wouldn't make any sense.
Nobody had any free will.
Well, it's more...
Well, I mean, that's heavy-handed. I don't know, right? Maybe you could still get mad at someone even if you thought they had no choice rather than doing whatever they were doing.
I've pissed off every guru I've had the pleasure to meet.
I'm just making sense. But...
What's that?
It's a weird skill. It's weird.
To be a guru?
To piss them off.
Oh. Is it one you've tried to do, Jeff?
Huh?
Is it something you've tried to do intentionally?
No. Badgers. Badgers are like that. They're just like that.
They're pissed.
Yeah.
You know, I think I saw a badger in my backyard one night when I was like 4:30 in the morning. I was whacked out of my mind, but I did see a creature. Somebody else was there. They thought they saw that creature. I mean...
Oh, that was me.
Could have been Don Juan.
Yeah, the disguise.
As a badger. You can feel the impulse of vector and agenda when we go in search of corroborating evidence. You're on a journey, right? Once you're on a journey, which means you're either in pursuit of or you're looking for corroborating evidence, what that suggests is that you're on the move, right? In a sense, you're departing from yourself to go in search of yourself and hope to find greater confidence in yourself elsewhere. And so a card-carrying seeker is good at that, really good at it. We'll go to the yoga studio or the bodywork clinic, or we'll become certified in 1,000 self-help strategies, and if one doesn't work, we'll move on to the next. If we're really lucky and we happen to be charismatic, we'll create a self-help strategy, brand it for ourselves, then we'll certify other people and go all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, look at all the big names in the contemporary self-help movement. What you're seeing are charismatic souls with the gift of gab, of, right, hallucination, theatrical exposition that enroll we suffering and confused primates into the hopes of a solution. And so we pay, we get therapized, we become certified in their methodology, we therapize others. And if it starts to fall apart because we just run out of steam or the guru fails somehow in our estimation, then we will, on a dime, after maybe 1 or 2 minutes of grief, go in search of the next amelioration.
So.
Sounds about right.
We got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, really. 2 minutes left. Where do I go? Where do I go? I know I'll have a donut. Then it'll pass. Right? And then I'll flip through the Omega catalog. Right? Or see what's happening in Glenside or wherever the hell. And I will sign up. If you're on the forum or the Landmark Education train, there's always a course. There's always a course. There's always another course. And when you look at any of the bodywork gurus or other, you know, therapeutic things, you'll always find level 3, level 4, level 2A. Now there's another acronym or another mnemonic device to say this new thing, and now it's about the chakras, but we kind of got off that. We're going to go back to basics. And you see, you're just enrolled over and over again because it's a ka-ching fest. Ka-ching,
ka-ching,
that's all.
This
classic and painful codependency with seeking self in an extroverted manner, perhaps in pursuit of mommy and daddy's recognition, whether it's zero balancing or Traeger or Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, you name it, right? All of that is just shit we need to go through as we wear out the impulse to go in search of self someplace else. Then, once you start turning the corner, which could have started at 2 years old, you just didn't notice it until you were 46, or whatever, right? Then it's like, wait, what the hell is this? Huh. You can actually discover that you can just chill the fuck out, not do a damn thing. Eradicate all of the imagination that you have been punctuated with from all of these fucking liars and racketeers. And then you become refreshed in self with a big S. Then everyone can just fuck off. And that's what we were after the whole time anyway, right? Right? Weren't we after that the whole time? Whether we were 2 or 6 or 12 or in our 20s, going extroverted, 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 acting out, acting in, extroverted, extroverted, acting out, acting in, next guru, next parent figure, next crisis, right? The whole time, what were we in search of? This. Just right here. We were always in search of this. It's weird. I mean, it's strange.
I'm confused because at the present moment, the 2-year-old, 4-year-old, teen, or whatever is just a memory. I mean, what are we saying that it actually is or was?
We're looking poetically at the trajectory of what we call a human life.
Okay, so how we experience it and define it.
Yes. Or the behaviors that we can observe from the reflection on our own so-called history or others that we've partied with. And the gurus that we've come to know and love. The healers that we've come to know and love. The masters of the craft that we've come to know and love. Right? The clinical narcissist that we had intercourse with, and why did we do that? Seemed like a good idea at the time.
What? Did you forget? Let me hit you. Get me out. Out of it.
Give her up.
I'm gonna hit you.
Then my lungs out. Well, it's just resting in the perfection of yourself that's what he wants.
Yep.
If there was an always and a searching and whatever.
Yes.
That's all you can really ever come back to.
You only have eyes
over
for
and over.
You only have eyes for you.
Exactly. Perfection of
Yeah. Yeah.
You as like this entire experience to you.
Yes. Yeah. All inclusive. Human being you, not human being you. Transcendent, radiant, zippity doo dah you. All. It's fun.
Well, yeah, it's just like being a superhero.
Completely like a superhero.
You know,
yeah, without
you have
a cape.
Your daytime appearance, and then you're.
Yeah. That's right. You go to the grocery store, and you're kind of relieved that no one recognizes you without your cape.
Yeah. Put your glasses on.
But if there's a crime, watch out.
You can just go to the Gap.
That's right.
Yes, that's right. Now you know where to go. Hide out.
That's right. Find a new cape at the Gap.
Cops can't find you there.
I got a feeling that, like, they...
How did they even
I
get
feel
to the
like
Gap?
They'd see him. Well, the Gap is very close to the courthouse.
I mean, the cops, you know, it's like, we're just going to go
right
shopping.
There.
We can't catch you in the Gap.
Well, like,
all the escapees go to the Gap.
On the khaki clothing.
That's right, he needed to get new clothes.
Really? Everybody on the nod goes to the Gap.
Probably. But don't you think the Gap saw him coming and said, holy shit, call the police? I mean, that's what I think.
Like, no, they were like, money, cha-ching.
No.
More,
I think
more
they
recently released heroin addicts.
Striped clothing.
Heroin addicts don't buy clothes. They steal clothes.
Jacket section.
What's that?
Maybe they were just hiding out in the jacket section.
Well, maybe someday I'll ask them. But,
so where are they now?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you'll
he
have
got on the train.
And they'll tell you about the...
Yeah.
Did you see them at the Gap?
No, I dropped them off at Starbucks. He was going to walk to the courthouse at the appropriate time. Which he did. And then boom. Because he thought it was... He didn't think he was going to get arrested. But that's why they told him to show up. They wanted him. And he's homeless.
Your son.
So they can't find him.
Oh, I should be homeless.
So, no female should be homeless. It's okay for male.
Some great job you did raising this guy.
He's just like his mom. Females at least can get men with money.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they're smart.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he didn't get this crazy just out of nowhere, did
bad?
He?
It's bad.
Yeah. It's lively. Let's say it's lively.
So I've
sure
always said,
any kids.
I've always said,
they're
going
to
ruin stuff. So good.
I do believe that.
I think so.
Yeah, I believe
it
that.
It is good.
I don't know
how to take
it.
And they can sleep for like days.
Make sure you don't.
Just out
yeah.
Of
I know. I would like it too much.
No, make sure you don't.